my Bible.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, go with me in your Bibles. I want to jump right into our lesson today. Go with me to John. I'll be there in a minute, but you can go ahead and put your finger on John, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse, talking from the subject, the time is now. The time is now. I was teaching for Bishop Murphy a few weeks ago. Lady LeConte taught. She did an amazing job. And then when I got done with the three services that I had to do, I look on social media and I let me make sure I got this right. It said, how did it go? It said, yesterday you said tomorrow. Got it? And so I was trying in my head to understand, what does that mean? Yesterday you said tomorrow. And so, of course, I got some clarity on it. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. A lot of times when Pastor Pat's talking about iConnect and signing up and stuff, he says, hey, don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. In other words, just come on and see me at the table. So after service, y'all can go and see him at the table. You see how I slid that right in? And so anyways, the time is now. So Lady taught, and then last week I taught, I don't know if you remember, I taught about keep your head up, keep your heart right, and aim high. Y'all remember that? And then on Tuesday night, if you were not here, you really need to go listen to the podcast on our website. It's WLCConline.com. Everything's absolutely free. It's not going to cost you a dime. And we talked about don't give up on your dreams. And so today, I want to talk to you from the subject, now is the time to worship. Because I think that when we talk about days of frustration and moments of frustration and even seasons of frustration, a lot of times when you're frustrated, the last thing you really want to do is worship God or praise God or those kind of things, because you're in your soulless realm and you're in, you know, your emotions, and I don't feel like it. How many know that's really the best time to do it? Isn't that right? And so if I was, I like to give definitions, and so they'll put a definition for worship up on the screen. And to worship is to express with the totality of my being, a reverence, a respect, and an awe of God out of an attitude of gratitude which transcends the respect I am unwilling to give any other, that triggers the fulfillment of man and releases the power and presence of God into earth's affairs. So let's break this down. So to worship is to express with the totality of my being, in other words, everything that's within me, this reverence, this respect, and this awe of God simply out of an attitude of gratitude. When I woke up this morning, I was thankful because I realized somebody didn't wake up, but I woke up this morning. You got it? And how many know that alone is enough to give God worship for? And so it says, which transcends the respect I am unwilling to give any other. In other words, when I go to the game, you know, when I go to Arlington, when I go to see the boys play, and it's amazing, and it's time to play, you got it, and we're on offense, and we're heading down the field, we're cheering, we're yelling, we're screaming, we don't know it, but that's a form of worship, you understand? It's just, you know, it's a form of praise, because you're happy for your team. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay for you to be happy for your team. But when we talk about worship to God, what we're saying is, I'm going to give him something that I'm not going to give my boys, and I'm not going to give anybody else. Does that make sense? So certainly, if I can go to the game and clap, I can come into the house of the Lord and clap. Certainly, if I can lift my hands at the game, when it's time to worship, I can lift my hands and say, Father, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I am, everything I've not. So that's what this means. And it says that it'll trigger the fulfillment of man and release. What do you mean by trigger the fulfillment of man? We were created to worship God. That's exactly what that means. So you were really created to lift your hands. You were really created to worship God. You were really created when you wake up and say, Father, I thank you. This is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. You were created to do those things. So it triggers the fulfillment of man. And then once we trigger the fulfillment of man, we always get a response from God. So it releases the power and presence of God into earth's affairs. Isn't that a good definition? That's a good definition. And how many know that we shouldn't worship just on the inside of these four walls, but we should worship on the outside of these four walls? Isn't that right? And so it's so very important. John, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. If you're there, just say I'm there. All right, it says, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Bible says that the Father seeks true worshipers, those that really have this heart, this attitude of gratitude that, God, I'm just thankful for who you are in your life, in my life. I may not even be where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be, and I'm going to give you praise, not in just the good times, but in the bad times, in the ugly times, in the indifferent times. David says, I'm going to bless the Lord all the time. And so you have to have this attitude of gratitude that even when it's tough, I'm going to give you praise. And how many know a lot of times it's hard to really focus on giving God praise when you're in a challenging situation? And that's why you have to learn how to flip the switch. Everybody say flip the switch. Yeah, you have to learn how to flip the switch because, see, when you're mad, you don't feel like worshiping God. When you're frustrated, you don't feel like raising your hands and saying thank you, Jesus. You know, have you ever been frustrated? And then the Holy Spirit will say, well, you know, just worship God. You know, and you're like, I don't feel like worshiping God. See, I know y'all ain't gonna tell the truth, all right? So I'm the only one in the building that has ever felt like, I don't wanna do that right now. I know it's important, I'm gonna do it a little bit later, but I don't wanna do it right now. I'm mad, and right now I just wanna stay mad. Don't judge me. You got it? But I can't do that. I have to flip the switch. You got it? I have to flip the switch and say, even though I'm frustrated, watch this, but I have to talk to myself. I don't know if you have to talk to yourself, but I have to talk to myself and tell myself, being frustrated is not going to get me anywhere. Being frustrated is not going to help me. You got it? Being frustrated is not going to get me out of this predicament. But to the degree I do what the Bible says and cast all of my care upon him because he cares for me and begin, when he says, take my yoke upon you, what he's saying is do it my way. So I've got to learn how to flip the switch and do it God's way. Some of you all might need help flipping the switch. So help flipping the switch means get in your car, drive down the road, and turn some worship music on. Turn some praise music, turn some Christian music on. You understand what I'm saying? And so that way, because what happens is when we worship God, we invite his presence into our situation. Does that make sense? Yeah. I kind of want to go a different way, but let's kind of go this way and see what the Holy Spirit does. Now, well, let's talk about for the few minutes what worship does. What worship does. The first thing that worship does is worship establishes the sovereignty of God. Worship establishes the sovereignty of God. It is his unique position and authority in the earth. How many know that there's no God like our God? Like, there is nobody like our God. And this is what worship does. It, number one, establishes the sovereignty of God because I'm about to give a worship that I will give to nobody else, to the creator of the universe, and I let him know there is nobody like you. Nobody can love me like you love me. Nobody can heal you like you heal me. Nobody can help me like you help me. Nobody can do for me what you do for me, so I'm going to give you a worship because I know that when I worship you, your presence will consume me and it'll begin to change things in my life. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. All right? Number two, everybody say number two. Number two, worship expresses a surrendering to God. Worship expresses a surrendering to God. This is my willingness to submit to all he is. Let me read the scripture first. Hebrews 13 and 15, they'll put it up on the screen. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. Maybe you've heard it. Let me know if you've ever heard this. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice, and I like to add, and surrender, the sacrifice and surrender of praise to God. How often, class? Continually. So I shouldn't just do it some of the time. How many know I should do it all of the time? It says that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. So worship expresses a surrendering to God, even if it's a sacrifice for me. Because, you know, when you're upset and when you're frustrated, you have to sacrifice really to lift up them hands. Because really, your flesh is saying, you know, your flesh wars with the spirit. The Bible says it's enmity against God. So really, your spirit man says, just lift your hands and worship God. You're like, I don't want to lift my hands and worship God right now. But you have to push past what your flesh feels. Can I just talk to you about the flesh real quick? All right, let's just talk about the flesh for a minute, all right? You know, flesh unchecked will take you right back to the same thing you were delivered from. What do you mean by that? You'd be praying, God, don't help me get angry anymore. Help me not to be angry. Help me to have a calm spirit. Help. I thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So you start doing it, and the next time you, let's just use marriage, because I love to use marriage. You got it? The next time, you know, because it's all lovey-dovey when y'all are dating. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? For my, you know, I say courting a lot, but some of y'all don't know what the word courting means. So I'll just use dating. But I got a group that knows exactly what courting means. You got it? And so, you know, you'll be dating and everything is just, you know, googly eyes, and we're going out because we're not talking about bills. We're not talking about responsibility. We're not talking about children. We're not talking about any of those things. You got it? And so, you know, I remember when Lady LaConte and I, you know, were dating, you know, and I would, even though I saw her that day, that night, I'm still going to call her, talk to her on the phone. Y'all know how we do. You got it? And then we talk as long as we can until we're just so tired that we have to go to sleep because it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and we know we got to be up at 5:45 for PT. Isn't that right, Marines? You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, and so then I'm saying, then I don't want to hang up with her, but I'm like, I got to hang up. So and then and she got to go to work the next day. And so we both need to be productive. And so we're like, okay, well, I'll talk to you later. Okay, well, have a good night. Okay, you too. And then nobody hangs up. And then you hear silence. And then you say, well, you hang up. So no, you hang up. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up. Anybody ever been down that road before? Yeah, okay. And so, watch this. Okay. And so, if we're not careful, we go from that, you know, to dun 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 dun. Y'all know it's sweating there, right? Right? Moving in with each other. I'm gonna get back to worship in a minute, all right? I'm talking about when you don't feel like worshiping. So moving in with each other, and now two imperfect people are beginning to come together, and then the whole you hang up, no, you hang up doesn't work anymore. The googly eyes don't work anymore because now you're in the same house and one is on this side of the house and one is on, don't get all quiet. Somebody say amen. That way you'll act like I ain't talking about your house. You understand what I'm saying? See, most people don't understand. When you're quiet, that means I could be in your Kool-Aid and know the flavor. But when you say, that's right, Pastor, amen, they think we're not talking about you. We're talking about somebody else. So what happens is when two imperfect people, is it okay I go this way? When I was in worship, the Lord told me, I'm going to take you a little bit different. And I'm not going to lie, because I'm a regimented person, I almost started to fight that thing. And I was like, oh, do I need to send Ellen another lesson? You know, like, Lord, I studied this one. This is the one I studied. And that's the problem. Our flesh wants to do what our flesh wants to do. And we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to help us. So now the googly eyes are over and you're in the same house and one's in one room and one's in the other and you got to come through at some time. So you pass in the hallway and you're all the way to this side of the hall and the hallway ain't but about that big. You understand what I'm saying? And you're trying to go by each other and not talk to them. And you got to go to bed. You got it? And you know you better not go in a different bed because then it's really going to be bad. So I have to get in my bed, although I really don't. What in the world am I going down this route? I really don't want to get in that bed. So I get in that bed, but I get all the way to the edge. This is the bed, y'all. Right? You are on this edge of the bed with a pillow on the back. You better not come this way. So what happened? You got to hear me. What happened from you hang up, no, you hang up, and the googly eyes, I love you more. That's not even possible because I love you more. You understand? What happened from that to this is called life. That's what happened. It's called life. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you got it that God is mad at you. It means that now you are learning to live with somebody else that's like you. You got it? And now you have to begin to navigate, but I can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And so now I need him to lead me. I need him to guide me. And so now, watch this. So now I'm at odds with my spouse. And so the Holy Spirit says, you know, just worship. I don't feel like worshiping. So then he'll try again. Okay, well, just say you're sorry. I don't want to say I'm sorry. You got it? Okay, well, at least just walk in the room and act like everything is okay. I don't want to walk in the room and act like everything is okay. And watch this, and then watch this, and it gets worse and worse. You got it? And then later on that night, y'all really blow up. And then now somebody starts crying. You got it. And now you're like, God, I wish you would just help me. And he said, I tried. But your ways are not my ways, and neither my ways, your ways, neither my thoughts, yours, because mine are higher than yours. And I know you think you know what you're doing. And I know you think you know the road. And I know you think you know the way, but you don't really know the good way. But if you will ask me for the good way, I'll show you the good way. And when you go down that road, I will stretch it all the way out for you and cause you to live life and life more abundantly. But you got to be willing to let the flesh move out of the way and let the spirit man come up. And to the degree that you'll do it my way, you will see my results in your life. Do y'all receive that on today? And so that's the key. That's the key. So people don't understand, you know, well, what does worship have to do with my marriage? A lot. A whole lot. Because, you know, maybe I do. You know, everybody's different. You got it. Everybody's different. Lady LaConte and I, this December, we will have been married 20 years. Right, baby? 20 years. December the 5th. Huh? I'm telling you, December the 5th. Are you checking to be sure or you know? So is it December 5th or not then? I said, okay, all right. Let me try to play me like I don't know my dates. Hang on, let me check my calendar real quick. See, I said it in a way where I was declaring it, but also checking with her. So she's like, oh, are you asking me, like, do you not know when we've been together 20 years and I gave you two babies and all that I put up with and you don't know? No, I know. So it has everything. Worship has everything to do with not just my marriage, but my life at all. My life, because what happens is, anytime I begin to worship, anytime I begin to just declare who God is, anytime I begin to speak well of him, anytime I begin to call on his name, he makes a promise that he's going to come and help me. He makes a promise that he's going to come and look out for me. He makes a promise in the word that says, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you until the end. You got it? But what he says, you know, Holy Spirit reminds you, hey, I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to make you do anything. So I'm not going to make you apologize to your spouse. I'm not going to make you do these things. Watch this. But if you will, watch this. You got to get this. But if you will allow me, watch this, to take the wheel, because you need to get in the back seat because you do not know where you're going. And now I let the Holy Spirit take the wheel. And as I begin to let the Holy Spirit take the wheel and I'm in the back seat and I'm now doing what he's telling me to do, it makes my life better. Because now, watch this, I begin to, you know, I get by myself and say, Father, I'm sorry. You know, I don't know why I acted like that. I don't know why I do that sometimes. You know it's okay to talk to God like that, right? Yeah, and so, you know, in my younger days, you know, I wouldn't say I was a firecracker, but in my younger days, something could aggravate me quick. You understand what I'm saying? And don't judge me, because some of y'all had that same problem still. But anyways, you know, but I would pray, like, God, just help me. Help. I don't know why I get mad so quick. I don't know why I respond that way. You understand what I'm saying? But what you don't understand is it's okay to talk to God like that, because as you begin to talk to God like that, the thing I love about God is he's a God of grace. So he's not going to get on you and make you feel bad, but he's going to say, okay, well, now, son, this is what you do, and this is what you do, and this is what you do. And the first thing you need to do is go say you're sorry. And then watch this. And I don't know, but most of the time, saying sorry really works. It really works. Unless the other party is still in their flesh. You got it? Because if I go say I'm sorry, oh, about time you said you're sorry. I've been waiting. I was wondering when you was coming, because you don't understand all that you put me through. And I don't understand that. And then now all of a sudden, ladies, it makes us not want to come say we're sorry, because if we say we're sorry, there's consequences after the consequences. So when we say we're sorry, you have to learn to say it's okay. Ooh, it got quiet. You got it? Because we're not saying that we're perfect, and we know we got issues, and we know, you know, and so my thing is this, and I could flip that thing around, but let me just keep it with the husbands right now. Ladies, you ought to be glad you got a man of God that will come to you and say, look, that's my bad. I shouldn't have done it. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to gladly receive that. And then as you receive that, watch this. Now the Holy Spirit says, okay, I got them right where I want them. I got their hearts off now, and now I can start working with them and leading them and guiding them and showing them what teamwork, what one really looks like. Does that make sense? All right. And so how did we get off on that? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And so, ooh, where do you go from there? Were we on point number one? We've done two? Okay. Worship expresses a surrendering to God. Y'all help me in the back. Where we at? Put it up wherever we're supposed to go. So we're at two. Okay, we're at three. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. So number three, worship expects the supernatural from God. It is my awareness, watch this now, it's my awareness of his power and his might in my life. So watch this now. Worship expects the supernatural. So when I finally get to the point where I understand it's important for me to worship God, watch this, I'm not worshiping just to worship, although I would worship God just because he's a good God, but the Bible teaches me that I can expect something from God when I worship him. You got it? Y'all remember the story of the 10 lepers? Jesus is coming into the city, the lepers see him, and they begin to start yelling out to him, and he says, hey, what's going on, brothers? And they talk to him, and he says, go show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, and as they went, they were cleansed. You got it? Which is a whole other story for another time, because the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Sometimes the reason you haven't seen manifestation in your life is because God is waiting for you to put some feet to your faith and start doing something in your life. And as you go, you'll see God open a door and you'll see God make a way in your life. You got it? Because you have to give God something to work with. Because he will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. Can I get a... All right. And so the 10 lepers go. And so as they go, this is what I love. As they go, this is why anytime you get blessed, you have to keep being a blessing. And when you get blessed some more, you have to keep being a blessing. Because what happens is, as they went, the lepers were cleansed. But one looks at, wait a minute. And he's like, he did this. So the leper runs back to Jesus. He falls and begins to worship him. Jesus says, watch this now. Jesus says, well, I'm glad you're here, but didn't you have some other friends? He said, I can't worry about that. All I know is I once was, but now I am. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. And so he begins to worship. And so then Jesus takes him to another level from just being healed to being healed and whole. What do you mean? He says, rise up, go about your way. Your faith has made you whole. So the other guys were healed, but he was healed and whole. When I first got this revelation, I began to look through in scripture. I heard some other guys teaching. I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And I said, Lord, I need you to give me a good example of not just being healed, but being healed and whole so I could really understand it. He said, son, when somebody goes through something and they get healed from a certain thing, whether it's a marriage that was just horrible and then I turned that thing around, or something in their body that they went through, and he says, I will heal them from it, but a lot of times you still have what we call side effects from whatever it was that you went through. He says, I don't want to just heal you. I want to make you whole. I want to get you to the degree where there are no side effects. So even if you remember the season you went through, there's nothing emotional attached to it. You don't feel angry all of a sudden, because not only did I make you heal, but I made you whole. Does anybody understand? So in my life, I'm not saying, God, no, don't just heal me, but Father, heal me and make me whole. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I want you to wipe everything out that's not like you. I want you to heal my head. I want you to heal my mind. I want you to heal my emotions. You understand what I'm saying? Help me to forgive everybody that's done me wrong. So that way, when I see them, watch this, I don't have anything in my heart against them. So there's a difference from just being healed to being healed and being whole. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Oh, man, this is good. This is good. All right. So it expects a supernatural from God. Listen to this. Worship is a spiritual transaction. What kind of transaction? Spiritual. It's a spiritual transaction born out of an acknowledgement and submission to his lordship. All right. When I acknowledge who he is, I'm talking about God. When I acknowledge who he is, there is a spiritual response that I get from him. When I begin to acknowledge who God is, God, when I begin to cry out to God, you remember David says, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me and he saved me, or that's NIV, I think KJV says, and he delivered me. And so what happens is David cries out and he gets a response from God. Anytime you see in the Word of God when they cry out, they always get a response from God. Well, you have to understand, even when you cry out, you will always get a response from God too. Let me give it to you in the natural, and then we'll show it to you in the spiritual. How many in the room have children? No matter if they're adult children, okay, all right, put your hands down. How many, now if your children are young, stay right where you are. If your children are older, just backtrack them to when they were little, because you still remember when they were little. You got it? And now you could be, let's use Mac's Place across the street. You could be under the pavilion at Mac's Place with 15 other ladies, you got it, laughing and joking and having a great time. There could be 100 kids on that playground. And all of a sudden, one yells, "Mom!" It's like out of that 100, some kind of way, you know, nope, that is my baby. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know how my wife would know. Like, no, that's Hannah. I'm like, are you sure it's Hannah? She done left me. I'm going to see about my baby because I know her voice. And when she calls me, I'm going to respond. Watch this. Not only does the mama respond, but when the child calls, the reason she calls her mama's name is because she is in expectation that mama is going to respond. Well, if us being mere human beings know how to respond to our children, how much more does the infinite, eternal, immutable, never changing God know how to respond to us when we call on his name? I'm preaching better than you shouting amen up in here. How many know he always responds to us? Yeah, David says, when I don't know where to go and when I don't know what to do, I'll lift mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. He says, all of my help come from the Lord. I don't know if you realize that, but all of your help really does come from the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, this person helped me. No, God raised that person up to help you, but all of your help comes from the Lord. But they had this program. God put something in place to help you, but all of your help comes from the Lord. Calm down. We got to get out of here, Courtney. Let's go home. Y'all ready to go home? Oh, y'all didn't know how to answer that question, did you? Because if I tell him, yeah, he's going to have a problem with me. And all right. It's okay to go home because we're going to come back. So it's okay to go home. All right. I ain't going to ask again, though. I want to give you these three things. Four. I'm going to go through them. Everybody say, if you had time. If he had time, because Holy Spirit took me another way, and I believe I know why he did it. I believe I know why he did it. I don't know who he did it for, but I understand why he did it. And so I'm going to show you these things, and then I'm going to close. When I worship, I can expect, number one, a sovereign response, because worship gets God's attention. When I call on the Lord, he's going to come see about me. Number two, a spiritual refreshing. Wait a minute. Worship renews our strength. It gives me refreshing. How does that happen, Pastor? That's real easy. Because anytime you worship, you begin to experience his presence and his anointing. And it's his presence and his anointing that will refresh us and that will strengthen us. Number three, significant revelations. I can expect significant. When I begin to go to God, I believe that he's going to give me the wisdom that I need for the situation that I'm in to help me solve whatever challenges I've got going on in my life. And then number four, situational rescue. Worship can set in motion divine intervention. Divine intervention, that God will show up on your behalf. I think 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, they're being attacked by the children of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, and they're coming against them. And there was a time where the children of Israel, they could have overtaken them much years earlier, but God told them, don't do it, just don't put your hands on. And so now the Jehoshaphat's going to God saying, God, like you told us not to overtake them. And now they're coming against us. So look at what they're doing to repay us. And so the Bible says that Jehaziel stands up and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And Jehaziel begins to say, you don't need to fight in this battle because the battle is not your battle. It belongs to the Lord. Now, my sanctified imagination is some of the people around him saying, this boy don't know what he's talking about. Get King Jehoshaphat so we can get the armies so we can do what we need to do. Somebody need to go get the pastor because this young minister does not. He needs a little bit more training. And so it bore witness with Jehoshaphat. And so Jehoshaphat, what they did was instead of having their armies get together, they had armies that would go forth and praise and worship God. And the Bible says, as they went forth and praised and worshiped God, that God caused their enemies to set ambushments up against themselves. So they didn't have to fight that day because God fought for them, all because they understood the importance of worship, that it'll bring situational rescue, that no matter what I'm in, no matter what I'm going through, God will help me. And so you got to know that no matter what you're in and no matter what you're going through, that God will help you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Please, nobody moving. We have one or two leaders that have to get up, but everybody else, please.